Amen. So I have a few little things up here this morning just to give me a little bit of a hand. Fire extinguisher. Smoke alarm. Sorry, my husband also has fire extinguishers in the back of his car. This is why I'm getting mixed up. Smoke alarm. Metronome. Does anyone younger than me know what this is? You're not younger than me, Roland. and a scrubbing brush. And these are credit to Dan. I was asking Dan, I need some like visual things that we can just lock our minds on this morning as we just read the word together. So last Sunday in our, the last Sunday of our Pursuit of Purpose series. Does anyone remember that? We did that a few weeks ago. We finished that a few weeks ago. One of my friends came out to me and said, "Oh, Kerry, that was awesome. That series was so great. What are we going to do now? Like, what's next?" Did anybody else feel like that? Yeah, you did. I'm so glad. Not that you felt like that, but we're going to address that today. And, you know, then we had Easter and it was so wonderful, like celebrating that Jesus would come to us and just reconcile us with God. How amazing. And I had this feeling even after Easter of, okay, what's next? What do we do now? What do we do with this truth? What do we do now, right? And it was just so exciting. And I think it's highly valuable to know how to proceed after something like that so that we can move forward well and so that we don't stay stagnant. And so that's what I'd like to talk about today. And I'm really excited about it because our emotions, they won't carry us forward, will they? Who knows, after a big night out or after a big party or after you return from holidays, who knows that your emotions kind of take a bit of a dip. Anyone? Yeah. Like after you come back from holidays specifically, always take a bit of a dip, especially when you come back to Armadale and it's like 5 degrees compared to like 35 degrees at the beach, you know. It's so different and that can be a little bit difficult. And so I think we all know these feelings. So what is our strategy then? What is our strategy for what happens next after these amazing things, after these challenging things even? I remember when we came back from Abigail's heart surgery, returning back to Armadale. We've been away for weeks. And, you know, then she has her recovery and she's fine and everything's fine and she goes back to school. And I was like, I don't know what to do now. We spent so long in these, you know, these last few weeks and now I don't know what to do. Have you ever felt like that? It is a thing, let me tell you. The Apostle Paul had an incredible encounter with God that changed his life, right? It changed his life. But what happened after that? What happened after that? Well, there was hardship, wasn't there? That happened. And trials of many kinds, and there were lots of wins too, praise God. Hey, the church just exploded. How amazing. But what happened even after that? What happened after that? The disciples saw Jesus raised from the dead. Like, he is the guy. Yes, he is the guy. He's come and the world's going to be a better place now because of Jesus. But now what do we do? Like, what happens next? Jesus is raised to life. Now what do we do? What happens next? What happened after that? Life happened after that, hey. Like Jews and Gentiles figuring out, how do we coexist together? We think this way, we love these things, but these guys think this way and they love these things. And like, how do we coexist? Like that happened next, didn't it? And that's a big deal. God's people walked through the Red Sea on dry land. What a miracle, what a miracle. But what happened after that? There was a bit of complaining, hey, and a few idols. There were lots of things that happened after that. Moving to the coast. Who has ever thought, I'm moving to the coast? That's it. I'm out of here. Anyone? No one wants to move. Yep. I'm with you, Nikki. But what happens after that? What happens after you move to the coast? There are like bills when you live, right? There are bills when you live and you need to go to work and there's all of these things that happen after this amazing thing of moving to the coast. As I wrote these thoughts down a few days ago, it was actually Zoe's birthday and we said, Zoe, what do you want for your birthday dinner? She's like, hot dogs. I just want hot dogs. So I know. It was actually amazing. all the applause for that. Hot dogs. Praise God for hot dogs. So we had hot dogs. But what happens after that celebration, that birthday celebration? We decorated the house and, you know, we hung things everywhere and we made the hot dogs and we ate the hot dogs and we talked about how sick we felt after the hot dogs. But then what happened after that? Like, we have to do the dishes. Life is back to normal, right? And so this is something that we all face. We all face at different times. And we can be grateful and we can learn from the conference that we went to or the experience or the heartbreak even or the miracle, and we can apply it to our lives. But then what is next? What's next? That's what I want to talk about this morning. So if you want to write this down, you don't even have to write it down. But if you're taking notes, you can write down, just keep walking. Say it to the person next to you, just keep walking. Just keep walking. Sounds so boring and so simple, but it will. This is important. This is important, I promise you. That's enough chatting, you chatty people. It's okay, Dave, I forgive you. So what happens next? So whatever we do, we just need to keep moving forward, right? Just keep walking, just keep walking. And there are steps between this good thing and the next good thing or the next challenge. And those steps that we take between those moments are actually really important, because who knows that life is made up of days, isn't it? Life is made up of steps. And really, there are more moments between all the big things than there are the big things themselves. Moving to the coast, going to birthday parties, all of this kind of stuff. Even experiencing a tragedy, there are lots of steps between these things, aren't there? So what happens today and what we believe today and how I walk from now until the next thing is actually very important. Vitally important. And a large percentage of life, like we said, is moving or walking from one thing to the other. So these days, they matter. Every day matters to you. Every day matters, and every day matters to God. There was this guy named Cliff Young. Has anyone heard that name? I only discovered him a few days ago, and I was like, what a legend. Why don't we get taught this at school? Like, what a legend, right? Cliff Young, if you don't know, in 1983, the year I was born, he was 61-year-old potato farmer, Cliff Young, right? And he actually won an ultra marathon. And so how it happened is, he arrived in overalls and gumboots to sign up to run this marathon, and he had never done this before, just out of the blue. I'm so glad you heard this story before, Dave. It was amazing, amazing. So he arrived in his boots and they started the race, and the first day he kind of ran, if you remember, with a bit of a shuffle, like it wasn't really a run. It's kind of a bit of a shuffle. And he trailed far behind everybody else, far behind. And so by the end of the first day, he's miles back. All these ultra elite athletes, you know, they're like all under 25 with their like Nikes and whatever. And so they all turned off, all these people in the lead, they all turned off for the day to sleep. They had a camp, and so they all turned off and, you know, set up camp and had a rest to be ready for the next day, to keep running, to keep going, to just keep going. And but Cliff, he didn't know that everybody else was sleeping. He didn't know that you were allowed to do that. So he just ran straight past the turnoff and just kept shuffled straight past the turnoff. And by the end of that night, he was like so far ahead of everybody else, and they were still getting up, having their breakfast, getting ready to run. How amazing. And so all the other competitors stopped, and he ran continuously for 5 days, taking the lead the first night and eventually winning the race by 10 hours. He won by 10 hours. What? And before running the race, he had told the press that he had previously done, he had run for like 2 or 3 days before, in a row before, previously, because he used to round up sheep in his paddock. That was his job. Their family was poor. They didn't have, you know, the quad bike or whatever. They didn't have that. And so he would run at 2,000 acres they had, and he would just run all around the property and round the sheep up. And so he just used to round the sheep up in gumboots. So this Westfield run, it took him 5 days, 15 hours and 4 minutes. And it was 875 kilometres. And so he did it almost 2 days faster than the previous record. 2 days faster. And when the reporter asked him, how did you manage to win despite your lack of track? How did you do this? Do you know what he said? I just kept running. I just kept going. He actually said he took his false teeth out too, because when he ran, they would like jiggle around. So he took them out first. Just keep going. I just kept going. I just kept going. I just kept going. At some point on our journey through life and in our faith, right, in our faith, we just have to decide, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to. We can lament. Do you remember a few Sundays ago, Herbie talked about lamenting and how this is important. It's important to grieve. It's important to lament. A passionate expression of grief, it's actually okay. Go for it. But don't stop. Just keep going. Just keep going. We can lament. We can learn from our difficulties. We can celebrate the good things, but we just got to keep going. Just got to keep going. I've had to decide to do this. Andrew and I have had to decide to do this together. And we just decided that quitting is not something that we will do. It is not in, we will not talk about that. We will not talk about that. It's not in our vocabulary. Quitting, no. We just won't do that. Will we rest? Yeah, totally. We will definitely rest. But we will not quit. So turn with me to Romans 12 if you've got your Bibles. We've all heard this before, right? But we're just going to read it again this morning. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. How good is it that Jesus is the one who perfects our faith, not us? How wonderful. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. So we have all heard this before, but let's just focus on this one thing: to throw off the hindrances and sin. To throw off the hindrances and sin. Because I think there's a reason that the Bible doesn't say just ignore the hindrances and sin. It doesn't say that. It says throw it off, get it away, throw it off. Hebrews. Yeah, my bad, that one. Hebrews. And we throw it off. And so we have an ant's nest outside our back door. We have these big double doors at the back, and there's a garden right near, you can see it through the glass, right near the back door. And I was out there the other day, and I thought, I'll just give some attention to this garden. So I stood right next to it, and I started like digging around in the garden. And like, I am not a melanin-rich person. Like, I'm pretty white. But I looked down at my feet and they were black, covered in ants. I can tell you, I did not ignore them. I threw them off. I did a wild dance that I'm glad, you know, no public was exposed to, and just kicked these ants off because they were hurting me and they were hindering me. They were hurting me and they were hindering me. Let's be the people who throw off the sin that entangles us and the hindrances that are before us. Let's just throw them off. So, what is the sin and hindrance that you need to throw off today? Like, don't be embarrassed about it. It's not even embarrassing. It's just something that we need to do to move forward. Let's just do it. Let's just decide we're going to do it. What is the sin and the hindrance that you need to throw off today? Let's just decide to do it today. Because sin satisfies for a little bit, doesn't it? But it actually erodes our God-given humanity, and then it separates us from God, and we don't want that. We don't want to do that. If our goal is to know and love Jesus and to keep on going and to keep moving forward, let's just throw it off. Say, throw it off. Throw it off. N.T. Wright, he says this, sin is the failure to be genuinely human as God designed. Sin is a failure to be genuinely human as God designed. That's a good perspective, isn't it? So it doesn't mean that, you know, your essence is evil and that you're up for world domination if there's sin in your life. That's not what this means. That's not what sin is. It's anywhere that we've sinned, we've fallen short. So get rid of like the devil with the pitchforks and all that kind of stuff. Like, no, that is not the imagery that is helpful to us. It's not even biblical, but that's another story and I'd love to talk about it one day. It's not. What? No. No. It's not even what? What we want to be thinking about is a target, like in archery. You know a target? And so there's the bit in the middle, and that's the bit we want to hit. This is being genuinely human. This is knowing God and loving God in a perfect way, just like Jesus did, just how Jesus lived. So he hit that target in the middle, didn't he? And so everything that falls outside of that and everybody that falls outside of that, which is all of us, we've actually just missed the mark. So get rid of hell and devil and whatever. That imagery is not helpful to us. Let's think of a target And when we land outside of that middle target, we've just missed the mark. And let's not have condemnation around this, because it happens to everybody. And the Holy Spirit is actually here to help us. Like, this is the kindness of God to us. He doesn't just say, be perfect like I'm perfect. He says, I will help you. I will help you do that. It's so kind. Do you know God does that all through the Bible? Even as it relates to worship, when God speaks about worship and our worship of him, he actually gives us his Holy Spirit to help us do that, to help us in every way. It's incredible. It's incredible. And so we are in some ways without excuse, because everything that we need to follow Jesus is at our disposal because of the Holy Spirit. How amazing. How amazing. We need to keep moving on. So just imagine in our connect groups, though, and in our conversations, if we just had a habit of asking one another, hey, are you still moving? Are you still moving forward? Are you still walking? Do you need to throw anything off? That's a good question, hey. Imagine in your connect group discussions, we love our connect group. Imagine you just ask that question, do you need to throw anything off this week? Because we all do. And it's often daily, isn't it? What do we need to throw off? Let's not be embarrassed about it. Let's just do it. Okay, moving on. So in these walking seasons, like these in-between seasons where we just need to keep walking, there's nothing exciting maybe happening. There's nothing that's a big deal that's happening. We just got to keep walking. In these moments, I just want to talk about three things that are going to be really helpful to us. So the first one is to be consistent. Be consistent. How cool is this? This is just a visual. I have nothing useful to say about this other than it's old and I borrowed it from my friend. It's just a visual to help you, to remind you, maybe next time you see one of these, whenever that might be, it might remind you. Be consistent. Just be consistent. With our learning, with our prayer, just be consistent with our Bible reading. So perhaps a telltale sign or a marker of maturity, it is consistency. Think of the most consistent person you know. They're often the people that bear the most fruit. Not because they're famous, not because they have lots of money, none of that. It's because they're consistent. They're consistent in their prayer. They're consistent in their Bible reading. They're consistent in their relationship with God. This is actually what makes an amazing, like a wonderful person, a consistent person, consistent in these areas. So don't allow a broken rhythm to keep you from all that God has for you. Because all that it will cost you is just to be consistent. That's it. That's it. Don't allow a broken rhythm to stop you. There is an intimacy with God and his plan being outworked in our life that only consistency will bring into existence. Only consistency. It won't happen on its own. So what are your rhythms and what is your consistency like? And I just wanted to throw this in here. It's worth noting that your spiritual consistency, it's not always accompanied by emotional consistency. Who knows that? Who knows that feeling when you know you should get up and pray in the morning, but your body's just like, oh, for real. Like, I understand. I get it. No one's perfect. We all feel it. We just need to remember that spiritual consistency, it's not always accompanied by the right emotions, because often they're different. And that's why we need a scaffolding. That's why we need to know what to do next, so that when our emotions are doing this crazy thing, we have something to hang them on so that they don't trip us up. So just be consistent. Just be consistent. So we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? Have you heard that before? It's from Romans. Which means that the most transformative faith-building thing that you can do is be consistent in how often you hear the word of God. It's so simple. It's so simple, but it's not easy, is it? This is from 2 Timothy, and it says, there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, it says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful in one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes. Then it says, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for all that God has for us. How cool is that? So be consistent, number one. And number two, I want to talk about discerning discouragement. So we have our little, what is this called again? Fire alarm. have my little fire alarm here. And Andy, being a firefighter, he has like a million of these in the back of his car, and he, you know, does part of his job at the uni is to make sure that everyone's fire safe and all of that. And so there's lots of them lying around our house and our yard and in our cars. And Dan reminded me the other day that smoke, it alerts you to something, doesn't it? Smoke alerts you to something. So when we detect the very beginnings of smouldering, we can stop a fire, can't we? But when we see flames, the fire's already started and it's already beginning to do damage. But when we can, like even the tiniest whiff that we detect of smoke, we still have a chance. We still have an opportunity to put this fire out, right? And so I want to talk about this in light of discouragement, like discouragement. Let's just get good at detecting discouragement so that we can keep moving, yeah? Detecting discouragement so that we can keep moving. So we can say the same about discouragement. If we are to keep walking and to keep moving and to not give up, then we need to get good at this. We need to get good at detecting it. A few weeks ago, we talked about the adversary. Does anyone remember? We talked about an adversary, an enemy, our enemy. And as it relates to discouragement, no matter where the smouldering starts, it doesn't matter where it comes from, it doesn't matter if someone said something to you, it doesn't matter if you feel a certain way, whatever, wherever the discouragement comes from, we know that our adversary can use it when we are low, when we're on the way down from a high, to just kick us in the guts a bit, right? So we need to be smart about this. Let's not be led by our emotions. Let's not just fall into this pattern of discouragement, because that's what our adversary would love. He would love that. But we need to get good at detecting it when it is just, it's just a whiff. It's just a smolder before it turns into flames, yeah? So the opposite of discouragement, discourage, anti-courage, no courage, is encouragement, isn't it? Encourage, re-courage, fill with courage, or pour courage into. That's what that word means, pour courage into. And the best person in the world to do this is God. He does this for us, and that's why we need to read his word and be consistent in his word, amen? Need to read the word. And so let me just read to you some encouragement today from the Bible. And I'll just read through it. You don't need to open. But in Isaiah we read, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." And there it is again. "I will help you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my righteous hand, my victorious hand." And God says the same thing to Joshua. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. He will be with you wherever you go." And again in Chronicles, "Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged." So there's this pattern, isn't there? It's like God knows that we need to be reminded to not be discouraged and to not be afraid, because he is with us. He's always with us. He's so kind to remind us in this way. The Apostle Paul says of Abraham, who was believing God for a family in his old age, this is what he says. In Romans 5:20 it says, "Yet he, Abraham, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith. He was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised." So I have read this to myself. I don't know if you want to do this. This is like, do this week. It's awesome. I've read this to myself. Carrie did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but she was strengthened in her faith, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Why don't you read through that this week? Put your name there. She did not waver through unbelief. Sam did not waver. Let's do that. Let's do that this week. So running out of time a little bit, but that's all right. So number three, I've got this scrubbing brush here, and it's just a reminder, isn't it? Like, let's just talk about renewing our mind now. Renew our mind, just scrubbing our brain a bit. Leah was like, "Oh, that's a disgusting mental picture, a scrubbing brush in her brain." So I'm sorry about that. But, you know, it is what it is. And it's a good reminder. Next time you see a scrubbing brush, you're going to remember, renew my mind, renew my mind. This is what I need to do. Renew my mind. So you can turn to Romans 12 if you like. And it says this, "Therefore..." What is the therefore, therefore? Whenever we see that in scripture, we need to ask that question. I'm not trying to be funny. It's just helpful. What is the therefore, therefore? So the writer has just been talking about the mercy of God and the kindness of God to humanity. This is what he's been talking about. And so he says, "Therefore, in view of God's mercy, where are we? In view of God's mercy, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. In view actually means by the means of God's mercy. There God is helping us again, helping us to do what he's asked us to do. He's helping us again. In view of God's mercy, by the means of his mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is what we should be doing in those in-between times if we want to keep walking. Hey, just got to keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. If this sounds a bit weird to you, living sacrifice, ew, what is that? Don't run for the hills. This is how the message writes it. This is how the message puts it. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. There it is again. God helping you. He helps us with everything. Take your everyday, ordinary life. This sounds like the in-between times. Hey, this sounds like the times that we need to keep walking, just keep walking, just keep walking. This is what it sounds like. Take your ordinary, everyday life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. The NIV says, this is your true and proper worship. The Amplified says, this is your rational, like the logical response, the logical response that should come from us as it relates to our salvation and our being restored and rescued and forgiven. Our logical response, this is our response, a life of worship. We read in the NIV, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, there it is, by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. So no longer slaves to sin, loved, forgiven, without shame, this is who we are, called to a better way of living, called to a life of love and kindness and selflessness, bringing healing and freedom to the world, bringing God's kingdom to the world, bringing it here. It says when we renew our mind with the truth of God, this is what happens. Our thinking is emulated in how we live, right? And so this is why it's so important. It's so important that we renew our mind with the word of God. Often, every day, just keep walking, just keep walking. We've got to keep doing it. Be transformed means to undergo a marked change, a change in your form and nature and appearance, so that we can prove, which means demonstrate the existence of, and recognize, which means discern. This is actually incredible, to recognize and discern God's will. So as we wrap up, I just want to give you two things that you can keep doing in the mundane times. In the times that you're on the way down, or maybe you're on the way to the next thing. Two practical suggestions that will just help us in this way for seeing the mundane things as spiritual, because actually everything is spiritual when we belong to God. So number one is notice your emotions in any given moment and don't try to change them. But then I wrote, allow that your emotions to exist as they are, but invite God. Invite God into that moment. Invite God into that moment through prayer or in your thinking, and allow him to speak to you as you live your life moment by moment, knowing that God is with you the whole time, the whole time. And number two, and I love this, and as a church, let's just keep getting better and better at this, okay? Number two, become aware of opportunities to do mundane things in community. So community is actually, healthy community is actually a result of doing mundane things. Did you know that? Like, how do you build community with someone? You go and do the shopping with them. You fold the washing with them. You go to work with them. They are these mundane things that actually strengthen and build community within a place like this, within our families, within our workplaces. This builds community. And so community is a result of the mundane, and it's a byproduct of doing everyday tasks involved in living together. God is present and at work on those days too. We can't underestimate the work of the Holy Spirit in these things, in these mundane things. Let's not underestimate him, yeah? Let's not underestimate him. He is still with us. So here are some questions up on the screen for you to think about today. Because I love Shane Willard says, a good sermon is not meant to be agreed with or disagreed with. It's meant to be discussed. And so this is just to help you discuss things this morning. Is there anything that I need to throw off like those ants in my garden, throw off so that I can keep walking? And do I have consistent rhythms to help me keep walking? If you don't have a consistent Bible reading habit, sounds really simple, sounds really, you know, like it's not a thing, but it is a thing. That is something that you should develop this week. Start this week. Start today. Start today even. You've already done it today. You've already opened your Bible today, so you're one step already. Just keep going. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Let's develop these consistent rhythms in our life so that we can keep walking. Because how we walk now, between this thing and next, how we are walking right now, how we are walking today, it's actually preparation for the next thing. For the next challenge, it might be a challenge, for the next win, for the next celebration. How we're walking now, this will determine how well we face whatever is next. So it's really important every day. It's so important. And the last one is, where do I need to ask the Holy Spirit for help? Where do I need to ask the Holy Spirit for help? How kind is God that he never says do this and then just do it by yourself. He always says, do this and I'll help you. Do this and I'll help you. Keep working hard at that relationship and I'll help you. Keep studying your Bible even though you don't know what's going on and I'll help you. Keep praying even though you don't feel like it and I will help you. This is how kind God is. He will help us. He will help us in all of these things. Awesome. So I'm actually going to ask Dan to come up and why don't you just stand where you are? We're just going to take a moment to just respond and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. And Dan's just going to pray for us as we do that.